and welcome to another episode of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And after a couple weeks of not doing bands, like doing genres or doing single artists, Sondheim musicals, things like that, we're back to bands. And we've got a band that I only knew because of a couple songs. I did not know the story behind them. And boy, did we learn a lot this week.
You ain't whistling Dixie.
Yeah, this is going to be a very eye-opening Soundography. If you're not familiar with the band Badfinger, let's talk about Badfinger. They were formed in Swansea, most active from the 60s to the 80s, and the best-known lineup was Pete Ham, Mike Gibbons, Tom Evans, and Joey Mullen.
So this is a group that on first listen seems to be heavily impacted by the Beatles and that whole era of music. But then in turn... Yeah. They had a huge impact on power pop in the 70s.
Yeah, which is some of my jam, right? So Dave Edmunds, Nick Lowe, these guys definitely had a hand in the sound. Guess who probably was influenced by them?
Wait, who?
Three Dog Night.
Who?
Not the Who. Guess who?
I'm trying to guess, but who?
No, not the Who, Hammond. Guess who?
We could do this all day.
We could. Let's do that. Whole episode of this.
It's the music nerd version of Who's On First.
That's exactly what it is. And then we bring Yes into it. Who? Yes. Who? No, not the Who. Yes. Yes, who? Anyway, the band first formed out of a group called the Ivies. In 1965, they started opening for bands like the Who, the Yardbirds, and the Moody Blues. I didn't even look ahead at that. They originally played all kinds of covers from a wide variety of styles of music. And in 1967, they recorded a 3-song EP with Taxi, Sausage and Eggs, and I Believe in You, Girl. They signed with Apple Records in 1968, and the first single they released was Maybe Tomorrow that same year. It charted well in Europe and Japan, but only did moderately well in the U.S. Maybe tomorrow I will love again. I'll never know until I've been looked into her eyes. Maybe tomorrow After some struggles with the label liking songs that the band wrote, Paul McCartney offered them the song Come and Get It. And after they recorded, Paul McCartney offered to produce 2 other songs for them, Carry On Till Tomorrow and Rock of All Ages.
So all 3 of these songs ended up on the soundtrack to the movie The Magic Christian, which I'd never heard of until I typed it right there.
Right, I know. I'd never heard of that either. Even though that first album is called Songs from the Magic Christian. And I didn't know what, or I guess it's just Magic Christian Music is the name of the album.
Yeah.
I didn't know what that meant, right? I'd seen that album before. I'm like, okay, Magic Christian Music. Okay, not very, yeah, I'm listening to this and there's no references to anything religious, but okay. But yeah, apparently it's from a movie called The Magic Christian, which now we'll have to look up. The label said that the name of the band was not working for them and that they needed a name change. So in 1969, they landed on and stayed with Badfinger.
So I guess it was a working title for With a Little Help from My Friends, according to legend. Because really? I guess Lennon had hurt his hand playing the piano and they started calling it the Badfinger Boogie for the song. So that's one story. Then right. Later, George Harrison said it was based on a stripper they knew called Helga Fabdinger, and that they knew while they were in Germany. So either way, the stories are compelling, even though there's different kind of apocrypha associated with them.
Can't agree on the name of where Badfinger got their name. I'd be more inclined to believe the first one, right? The Badfinger Boogie from With a Little Help from My Friends.
Yeah, I also kind of believe the stripper thing too, though.
Do you? I mean, the Beatles were always known for practical jokes and making up stuff and even coming up with fake names and goofy things like
Helga Fabdinger.
Not Helga Fabdinger. Obviously, that's one of them. But I'm thinking of like the beginning of Two of Us says something like it's John Lennon going, I dig a pony by such and so and so and so. Hit it. And it's some made up goofy name, Mr. Kite, you know, on the Sgt. Pepper's album.
Actually, Sgt. Pepper and his Lonely Hearts Club.
Sgt. Pepper, exactly. Yeah. See, there's a lot of things. So I could easily see George Harrison going to a reporter and saying, It was a stripper named Helga Fabdinger.
So that was by the way, Badfinger. If there isn't a punk band out there with the name Helga Fabdinger, there needs to be immediately.
There does. Yeah,
they need to open for Blink 182 and Green Day.
For sure. Anyway, along with that name change, there was a lineup change. Founding member Ron Griffiths left and was replaced by Joey Molland. Come and Get It, the song that Paul McCartney gave them, was released as a single in late 1969 in the UK and early 1970 in the US. It sold more than a million copies worldwide. And because of the limited release of the Ivy's music, it was combined with new songs for the first album.
I think the reason it sold so well is everyone thought it was a Beatles tune, because
it sounds
Right?
Yeah. It absolutely sounds like a Beatles song. In 1970, they released the aforementioned Magic Christian Music. It peaked at number 55 on the charts, and the cover photo was by Les Smithers. I don't really call it a photo. I mean, the cover artwork. Although that hand, I'm looking at it now. The hand might be a photo that they inserted into the artwork, into the painting. But it's a very recognizable and memorable album cover. Mm-hmm. In 1970, they followed up with No Dice, which also peaked, or which peaked at number 28. Without You was a hit, but not because of them, because Harry Nilsson covered it a couple of years later, made it a much more successful hit.
This is where their story starts taking a kind of depressive turn.
Yeah.
And sure. I'm actually really glad I did the show notes for next week already, because their story is far more like overcoming. Because this is a sad story.
Yeah, it totally is. So Stan Pauley signed the band to a management deal in 1970. And although he appeared to be a mentor and father figure to the band, he had some stuff going on. His shady business moves led to the downfall of the band. They toured the United States in 1970 and were generally well received. Audiences did also compare them to the Beatles.
And this comparison continued throughout their career. And I can't say it didn't hurt them too, because they just look like a Beatles. A Beatles wannabe band.
I sound alike. I even bring up the other couple songs, boy, in the Wish You Were Here era, that sound like they were sung by Paul McCartney, right down to the style that Paul has in some of those songs. During this time, members of the band worked as session musicians at Apple Records. Evans and Molland played on Imagine with John Lennon. In 1971, they released the album Straight Up. This album peaked at number 31. It was recorded at Clearwell Castle, and the first recordings were rejected again by Apple, and then George Harrison took over as producer.
And when George Harrison took over, he included people like Leon Russell and Klaus Voormann in the sessions to kind of give it some juice and some oomph.
Round out the band.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's great involvement, because that's right around the time of All Things Must Pass, George Harrison's album. So what a great time to be brought in. Because of other obligations, like the concert for Bangladesh, George couldn't finish the album, and Todd Rundgren finished the project. The two singles from Straight Up were Day After Day and Baby Blue. It started to become clear. You know, I'm going to talk about Baby Blue now, because I originally had it in my list, my playlist, but I realized I couldn't include it. But that song had a big resurgence a few years ago. Do you know why?
No.
It had a resurgence because it was used as the final song in the series Breaking Bad, kind of talking about the blue meth that Walter White was cooking and calling it Baby Blue. And there's some amazing versions of that song out there. Amy Mann, I think, has my favorite version of Baby Blue by Badfinger. It's really, really cool. If you haven't heard it, it's worth checking out. But Breaking Bad kind of brought that song back into the limelight a little bit.
That and Death Bay ATMs and Pizza on Roofs, all things Breaking Bad responsible for.
All things that Breaking Bad made popular. The Pontiac Aztec. Saw a big resurgence.
No, it didn't. TV show.
No, it never will. It started to become clear that Pauly had been dealing dirty with the band and that he had ties to the mafia. And again, the initial recordings of the next album were rejected by Apple. But Pauly did work out a deal with Warner Brothers.
Okay, so this deal is ridiculous. And I don't know whose fault it is or why it worked out this way, but this deal is dumb. The deal required them to churn out a new album every 6 months for 3 years.
Oh, my God.
There is no way that you can do that.
And keep up enough content and tour.
So, yeah. You burn through your stuff so fast that you're releasing on top of each other. There's no way.
Right. No. Oh, that's horrible. The next album was 1973's Ass. Yes, it's an album called Ass. It peaked at number 122, and there were issues releasing the album not because of the album, the title, but because of song publishing credits. The album didn't do well, nor did the single Apple of My Eye.
So it'd been funny if it just peaked at number 2.
That would have been funny. Really nice. Want to stay. Believe the love we have is so sincere. You know the gift you have will always be. You're the apple of my eye. The next year, they released a self-titled album, 1974's Badfinger. 6 weeks after finishing the Ass sessions, they were back in the studio to record this album. It was released right on the heels of Ass, as you might expect, and the singles Love Is Easy and I Miss You didn't see any market success. Now my eyes are never dry, and a thousand jesters couldn't make me smile. Also in 1974, keeping up that rigorous schedule, they released the album Wish You Were Here. That was actually recorded right here in Colorado and as well at George Martin's Air Studio in London. And some more evidence of Pauly's bad business was found by Warner. This led to Warner ending their contract with Badfinger, which at least got them out of that ridiculous schedule, recording schedule.
There was an account that everyone should have had access to, including Warner. But Pauly did not reveal where that was. And so he was just kind of sitting on it. And Warner didn't like that at all.
Yeah, no kidding. I mentioned it before, but I'm mentioning again, the lead singer totally sounds like Paul McCartney in places on this album. It's just amazing. Around this time, there was a growing sense of turmoil in the band, not only with management and money issues, but also Mullen's wife had started injecting herself into band politics. This did not set well with Peter Hamm. Kind of, again, mirroring the Beatles and Yoko Ono's involvement. They just can't get away from that comparison, can they?
Nope.
Mullen eventually quit in 1974 to pursue a solo career. Pauly tried to get the band to pass on a U.S. tour and get back into Apple Studios to record again. Over the next 11 days, they recorded Head First. This wasn't released until 2000, so 26 years later. Warner had already filed a lawsuit against them, and the album could not be accepted by the label.
Warner also said the tape sounded rushed and kind of thrown together. And when you're recording 11 days, it's gonna.
Go figure, yeah. This led to an end to distribution of Wish You Were Here, unfortunately, which pretty much put an end to Badfinger. In 1975, panic set in when checks were not going through. Hamm had lost all of his money. He had a child on the way. He had a new house. And sadly, he hung himself in his garage on April 24th, 1975.
In his suicide note, reportedly, his note blamed Pauly and called him a soulless bastard.
Totally sucks. In May of 1975, the band dissolved. Warner ended its contract and Apple deleted their albums from its catalog. Like an annulment, basically.
Yeah.
And in the aftermath, pretty much everyone went their own ways. Some stayed in music and others went on to regular jobs. In 1977, Kenny Hark and Joe Tanzen got Mullen and Evans to form a new band. Elektra encouraged them to name the band Badfinger. They released the album Airwaves in 1979. This was called a comeback album by the label. The new guys left the band right after recording. One was fired and the other one quit. And they brought in Tony Kaye and Peter Clark to tour.
Kaye had played with Yes and Clark who played with the Steelers Wheel. So it was not like they weren't still getting good people to play with them. They just weren't getting the support and the help that they needed to be a band. It seemed like everyone was kind of just out to screw them.
Yeah, totally. And so little left of the original Badfinger.
Yeah.
And
this feeling
inside of me sets me free from the past. And I know that when I'm ready, love is gonna come at last. The single Love is Gonna Come at Last did okay. It reached number 69 on the charts. I remember that one, actually. In 1981, they released Say No More. The single Hold On reached number 56 on the charts. The legal issues with Warner and Pauly lasted 4 years. It ended with Pauly being forced to pay a substantial sum back to the label in 1978. After Say No More did pretty poorly, Molland and Evans both used the name Badfinger to tour rival acts.
And this just continued to add to the growing and increasing tension between the two of them. It just wasn't good.
Yeah, there are competing suite touring bands, one led by Andy Scott, and I'm trying to remember who the other one is led by, but basically two guys from the band formed the band Suite went their separate ways, and each one leads a different touring version of the band Suite.
The Rat has that, I think, now, and I know Queensryche probably, I think Queensryche does too.
Wow, that's rough stuff. Evans got into business with John Cass, which led to a disastrous tour and a $5 million lawsuit, which settled in Cass's favor. In early 1983, Evans had started working on demos again, but it wasn't going well. And on November 18th, 1983, Evans and Molland got into a huge argument on the phone about Badfinger income still held in escrow. After the argument, Evans hanged himself in his garden. Rough stuff. In 1984, Molland, Gibbons, and Jackson reunited as Badfinger and played 31 dates as part of the 20th anniversary British Rock and Roll Tour. And in 1990, they released the albums Best of Badfinger as well as a live album called Day After Live. Mariah Carey covered Without You in 1994. This led to an ASCAP award for Molland and Gibbons.
This also led to a bunch of anger and frustration from Ham and Evans families because they weren't mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, rough. Totally rough business, because you know that brought in a lot of money, and and they saw none of it probably. In 1998, Dan Matavina wrote and published Without You, The Tragic Story Behind Badfinger. The 2000 update had a CD of rare interviews. A few other albums, 2000, they released Head First. Another best of called The Very Best of Badfinger released that same year. 2010, Apple Records Extra, Badfinger. And 2013, Timeless, The Musical Legacy. Each of the remaining three members continued to work in music. Molland released 4 solo albums. Jackson rejoined The Fortune in 1995, and they're consistently working. And Gibbons has even done some solo albums. So it's almost like, boy, after that, we need a drink. But what do we have as far as statistics and general notes?
So we kind of covered most of the big issues running through the history of this band. We kind of covered their successes and kind of how they got screwed throughout most of the thing. So I really just wanted to say that since in the 101 episodes we've done, I think this might be the most tragic story we've covered.
I think so. Yeah. It's rough, man. Two original members of the band hanging themselves and just shady dealing going on with the producer, with the manager. Jeez, just rough stuff.
And it's what's weird is they had like all this help. They had the Beatles right there in their corner. They had Todd Rundgren in their corner. They had Leon Russell in their corner, and everyone was just kind of blowing them up. It's really tragic.
Yeah. Yeah. You wonder how things might have been different had had George Harrison been able to stay. Well, I mean, even with George Harrison out, Todd Rundgren came in. They had some, you know, they took replaced one great pedigree with another. But
I think if they'd been able to get a manager who was more interested in their success than his own financial gain, that's where things would have been better.
I think so, for sure. All right, so let's get to their Stairway to Heaven songs. This is the song that you know they're going to perform when you see them in concert, and whether you're seeing the different versions of Badfinger that the rival versions that are touring, or even Mullen solo, or Gibbons solo. What song do you think you're going to hear for sure at the show?
So my list includes Day After Day, Baby Blue, Take It All, but I'm pretty sure that No Matter What is probably going to be it.
Sure. And I'm pulling it up right now. It's funny when you look for, when you do a search on setlist.fm, you get Badfinger, Joey Mullins Badfinger, Tom Evans Badfinger, and Bob Jackson's Badfinger. So four different versions of the band, but we're going to take a look at the regular Badfinger set list. Without a doubt, No Matter What is absolutely number one. Day After Day is number three. I Can't Take It, Baby Blue. But number two is Suitcase, which is surprising.
Suitcase. Wow.
Suitcase. Yeah. Not what I would consider one of their big ones. Their sixth most played thing in concert is a medley of Love Me Do, Lucille, Rip It Up, Long Tall Sally, Better Days, Feeling All Right, a cover of a song by Traffic, We're for the Dark, Take It All. And their 11th song, it's funny, even though it was originally theirs, is listed as Come and Get It, a cover of the song by the Beatles, even though Paul McCartney wrote it, but I don't think Paul McCartney performed it before he gave it to them, so it can't really be called a cover.
Yeah, unless he started, it was weird. Maybe he, once they did it, maybe he recorded it as a quote-unquote cover, but since he was the writer initially, I don't know. This is part of the this thing with them, is there's so much convolution in publishing and writing and...
Totally is.
And album labels go, and, you know, labels universally saying, this is not good enough, we can't release this, go back. And them going back and having to work through it. And it's just, it all just seems like they were just trying to be a band and everyone just kept saying, no, no, no. And by the way, when you're successful, we're going to benefit.
Yeah. It's rough stuff, rough stuff. All right. So let's say we could travel back in time, give them a song from any era to have them cover in their heyday, in their prime. What song would we want to hear them cover? I'll go first because that's the order that it's always in on the spreadsheet. I'm choosing Wake Me Up When September Ends by Green Day. And I feel like this kind of plays into their whole tragic comic vibe, especially the tragic, with the song, you know, kind of about Billy Joe Armstrong's father and the sadness that he went through with that. But it kind of keeps them in their wheelhouse because it's got that power pop sensibility to it. And I feel like that would be a great one to hear Badfinger cover in their heyday.
That's a really good one.
Oh, thanks.
I picked...
How about you?
I wanted to find something that would be a complete change in style. So something where they were either going to have to be different themselves or something they could just Badfinger the heck out of.
Sure.
Which sounded dirtier than I thought it was going to before I said it.
It kind of does. Wow, once you say that out loud, that's...
Yeah, that didn't go as planned. But so I picked Ace of Spades by Motorhead. And I want them to Badfinger this thing up. I want them to add pianos. I want them to have harmonies. I want them to play it like they would play it. But I want it to be Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
By way of Badfinger.
That's a great choice. I like that. Yeah, I'd like to hear either of these. So when that time machine gets built, this will be the first thing we use it for. You know, the important things in life. All right. Well, now's the time of the show where we come to our playlist. This is where Hammond and I each pick five songs from their library. And we talk about why we like them. We stay away from greatest hits, which I was able to do after our second listening. I found one I liked, and I was able to take Baby Blue off of my list, even though that I just love that song. Here is my playlist of five songs. Number one, I'm in Love. This is from Christian Music, Magic Christian Music soundtrack. Cool. It's got some good funk to it, almost like it's a Hollies song, which again, another had to be an influence, both directions, like a Hollies song, but it was made funky. So it's a really, really good track from that original album. The second one is the aforementioned Without You. Now, I had you there, then I let you go, and now it's only fair that I should let you know. Hear me out. This is the greatest hit because of Harry Nilsson, but I actually prefer the lesser known Badfinger original. It's less polished. It's more raw, more punch to the gun, punch. more punch to the gut. Sad. Like it actually sounds like he's lamenting, the loss of this relationship. And, Harry Nilsson's just is a little bit too polished for me. And I really like their version, which comes from their album, No Dice. No Dice. The next one is In the Meantime, Some Other Time. The album Wish You Were Here. Not only is it two songs, and I get to have a cheat by having a two song medley on my list, but this is really good. It's like ELO. It's got all the strings and orchestral instrumentation, which I really, really like. It's just a great ELO-esque song. And we haven't even mentioned Electric Light Orchestra, but again, another band that I think was probably influenced by Badfinger. Love Is Gonna Come at Last from Airwaves. I mentioned that I kind of was familiar with this one. It's a decent straight ahead pop song, just nothing more to it. It is just a well-crafted pop song. And then number five on my list, it also comes from Wish You Were Here. It's No One Knows, which, as I mentioned, has got a very Paul McCartney post-Beatles sound to it, like Admiral Halsey, Uncle Albert, pre-Venus and Mars kind of Paul McCartney feel to it. But the title gives me weird OCD because they spell no one, K-N-O-W, no one knows. And it just bothers me. I don't like that at all. So. So if I were their producer, I would have changed that without them knowing it.
But you'd let them keep their money. There's a difference.
I would have absolutely let them keep their money. Yes, by all means. For sure. How about your playlist, Ammon? What do you got?
So here's the weird thing. As I'm listening through, and I'm realizing these are all Badfinger songs, I'd associated them with the Hollies, the Beatles, ELO. So identifying them as Badfinger songs was, I knew the songs. I just didn't know they were Badfinger songs. It was a weird kind of cognitive revelation for me this week.
I get that. Yeah, I totally get that.
So, because some of these songs, Come and Get It, I've heard my entire life. I thought it was the Beatles.
Always thought it was Beatles.
Yeah,
or at least a Paul McCartney solo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's so weird. So anyway, I picked for my first one. I picked Fisherman from Magic Christian Music. Wish you luck. That's all I can. Hey, fisherman.
the world if that's your plan.
As the morning, you know, as I tried to just sit down and describe it to Stacy as I was going through the week, I couldn't really come up with anything other than I like the song. So,
which is fine. Just nothing wrong with that at all.
There's other than just listen to this and know I like it. I can't really go into too much about why. I just do. The next one I picked was Water for John from No Dice. Are you kissing? Then you tease and stop the flow. Open up your knees and let it go. I don't want to sing. This has a really, really cool blues piano riff to it. And it's a little bit outside of the normal Bad Finger sound. And so those things that didn't sound like all the bands I just listed really did stand out because it was them kind of being themselves. And I'm wondering if the record label said, oh, you guys can't sound like yourselves. You have to sound more like all these guys. So go back and re-record all this. So the stuff that was them, this is, I think this might be where they really kind of on their own would have been.
Yeah.
And I'm totally speculating. So all you Bad Finger aficionados,
we're in the process of writing us emails. Yes.
This is a week journey into Bad Finger, and I'm just making speculation. I'm X-filing my way through the Bad Finger story.
I want to believe you're correct.
The next one I picked was Name of the Game from Straight Up, which is not the Paula Abdul album.
Nor is it the ABBA song Name of the Game.
Yes, it is. Which is, that's a weird amalgamation.
Yeah, right.
The reason I picked that one is there's something really cool about the piano arrangement and how it plays against his voice. There's kind of a melancholy piano, but his voice seems more major key. It's, or maybe it's the other way around. I can't remember. But either way, it plays against each other really well. So I picked it out because it sounded interesting that way. Back to would not try. The protest would not take me far. It's different. Then I picked The Winner from Ass, which is a weird title of a song on a song on an album called Ass. Any day of the week, you don't have to shout or walk about, you just have to speak. Say, baby, you just have to speak. It's really funny to hear you described as the winner from Ass. This is just a simple rock song, and it kind of goes into all the ways that you are a winner. And again, it's on an album called Ass. I don't know what they were thinking.
I'd love to know the reason for the album called Ass. I really would.
Yeah. I just keep it's thinking of this
great story behind that.
I just keep thinking of there was a professional wrestler back in the Attitude Era, and his theme song, when it hit the thing, it would yell, "I'm an ass man," as he walked down the big ramp. And I just can't help but think about that when I think about the album. Also,
I'm an ass man.
Also, Kramer's license plate, right?
Uh-huh. Yep. Ass man.
Yeah.
Hey, ass man.
That's Mr. Badfinger to you.
That's right.
Oh gosh, Bad Finger and Ass Man.
Oh, just connected.
Yeah.
Even Bad Finger Ass.
Yeah,
like, yeah, that's a hard sell at the record store.
Yep. Hi, we're the new band Proctology Exam. We're a Bad Finger cover band.
By Bad Finger.
my last one, Matted Spam from the album Bad Finger. This has big horns. It's got more of a funk sound to it. And for some reason in my head, I just hear the Blues Brothers doing this. Hmm. And I don't know if they did cover it. I just know that it feels like it could have been Blues Brothers tune.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. There were some interesting blues scattered throughout the the library, you know, it's surprising.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm wondering if that was their real thing, but everyone kept trying to pull them into Beatles world.
Right. Right. Certainly possible. Yeah. Very cool. Well, it was great actually finally listening to these albums that I'd known, you know, like I said, known a few songs by them, but not nearly the whole story behind the group as well as the rest of the stuff on their albums. And this is fascinating. So yeah. I'm glad we did this one. Another one that I'm glad we're going to be doing is next week. We're going to be doing Fall Out Boy.
Up and Adam.
Very good. Yeah, the band Fall Out Boy, a band that did get its name from The Simpsons and Radioactive Man's sidekick. I love it. This is another good one that I know. I know a couple songs by the band, but I really don't know the whole story behind them.
And, so it's interesting. There are hints that this could have gone tragic as well. But
oh, really?
Yeah. And then so the story goes on. But it's very interesting that we're coming off one that was tragic to a fault, like a Shakespeare story.
Yeah.
Coming to one that could have taken turns if they had, you know, different people in their lives.
Ooh, I can't wait to get into this. I'm interested. So I like this. This is a great tease.
Yeah.
Hammond, I love it. Keep them coming back. All right. Well, that's going to bring us to the end. If you want to reach out to us, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at The Soundography. Our website is soundography.com. Hey, look, if you go there, you're going to find 101 episodes of the show, plus a few bonus episodes. Some you got to listen to this and some stuff that we recorded for other podcasts, some other specials that we've done. Go check it out. For every episode, you'll find our playlists, a link to where you can hear the songs we've chosen on Spotify. You'll also find a link to where you can buy some stuff from Amazon with regard to whichever artist we're talking about. And you'll find a way to support us on Patreon. Even if it's a buck or two a month, we'd love to get your support. It definitely helps keep the lights on, helps Hammond and I keep the water filled in our hamster bottles. Also, leave us a review. It's another way you can help the show. If you've got a good review, post it somewhere where everyone can see it. Shout it from the rooftops. If you've got a bad review, just email it to Hammond directly.
That's it. Okay. It's real, really, anyway, we'd love to. In context of when we're recording this, it's really a bad time to have a respiratory infection. I'm just saying.
It is a very bad time. Yeah. Imagine if you were out and about, you get people looking at you like you are
patient zero. Yeah. Patient zero.
Exactly. For walking around. That is going to do it for this episode. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Abbott saying that's going to do it. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.